Ring in the new year at Reading Garden of Lights on Wednesday, December 31st, 6 to 10 p.m. for a special New Year's Eve event featuring live music by Black Vinyl 45 and a special New York-style countdown at 9 p.m., perfect for families with early bedtimes, all while surrounded by 2 million lights and 10 acres of illuminated gardens with food and drinks available for purchase. All proceeds support Turtle Bay. Don't miss New Year's Eve at Reading Garden of Lights, Wednesday, December 31st. Buy tickets online at turtlebay.org.
From the historic campus of Hillsdale College in Hillsdale, Michigan, where the good, the true, and the beautiful are taught, nurtured, and honored, this is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour, bringing the activity and education of the college to listeners across the country.
God Himself breathes the same air that we breathe, and He is there, present with us. And all of those in the Nativity are looking to Him and praising God for what He is doing there. You know, that to me is a great symbol.
This is your host, Scott Bertram. Welcome to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour, part of the Hillsdale College Podcast Network. That was Dr. Ken Calvert, professor of ancient history here at Hillsdale College. He's back this week to talk about the meaning of Christmas. And later on in today's program, Dr. Timothy McDonald from Hillsdale's music department will tell us all about the Christmas hymn, Good Christian Men Rejoice. First, we're joined by Dr. Ken Calvert. He is professor of ancient history here at Hillsdale College. Dr. Calvert, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Scott. Great to be here.
I'm really excited to have you here as we have an in-depth conversation, special for this part of the year. The meaning of Christmas is what we start with today.
Yeah, it's a great topic, and one of my great pleasures as an ancient historian, and particularly ancient historian interested in the early church, is to run across topics like this and be able to bring them to the attention of my students, and then be able to really work out some of the confusion that has developed over the centuries about Christmas.
Let's start with the basics.
Okay.
From a historic Christian perspective, what's Christmas really about?
Right.
Gifts giving, presents, things like that.
Of course. Yeah, it's all about materialism. So we have to remember, and this is something that we so easily forget, really drag ourselves back into the first century and into Scripture and the idea that God becomes man. You know, this is a radical idea, the incarnation. This is something that strikes their culture, you know, really, you know, across the face with something that they had never heard of before. Mm-hmm. The God of the universe. You know, there have been these people like Hercules and things like that. Zeus rapes a woman and, you know, creates a man-god kind of idea. Or Julius Caesar, who's voted God by the Senate. There are things like that floating around. But nothing like this, where the creator God of the universe becomes man. And why? You know, this is absolutely the point of all of salvation history. All of Scripture points ahead to this. Mm-hmm. In Ezekiel, you know, God says, I'm going to do this myself, right? In Isaiah, the virgin gives birth to God, you know, God present, right, among us. And so this is so important to understand that Scripture is pointing ahead to this from Genesis chapter 3, the woman who gives birth to the child who crushed the head of the serpent. This is the key, that God is going to take upon Himself all of the sins of the world in the atonement on the cross. You know, the early church focused on Easter as it should. We focus to a great extent on Easter as we should. And actually, even the word Easter, maybe we should have another show about that, because only in English-speaking countries do we use the word Easter. In other countries, it's all about the Pascha. It's all about the Passover. Anyway, back to Christmas. The idea here is that that God becomes man, and that is a central point of salvation history. He dies on the cross, and in order to die, he has to have a body, right? And that's what we're talking about here. In order to rise from the dead, he has to have a body.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the most audacious message that the Christians bring into the world, that God has become man. And so Christmas, what's it about? Well, it has to do with the conception of Jesus in the womb of Mary. It has to do with his birth. And, you know, when is he born in this ancient world? What are the dates we're looking at? And there's a lot of confusion about that, and we'll get into that a little bit. But really, you know, for the Christians, if we're talking about God coming into the world, we should have an idea of when that happened, you know, approximately what year, what time of year. And then a celebration begins to emerge in those early years, a memorial and a celebration, you know, regarding this central event in human history. Yeah.
Yeah. I alluded to this in as I asked that first question, but over time, Christmas now has taken on different cultural layers, be it presents or Santa, lights and family gatherings. What's gained or lost when the meaning that you outline takes a backseat, perhaps, to other things?
Right. And I guess, you know, as I look at Christmas, part of me wants to say, I'm really glad we still remember this.
Mm-hmm.
And this still is an important marker in everybody's year, especially for children. You know, this idea, something happened on this day, and the word Christmas still has Christ in it. Even if we say happy holiday, we're still saying happy holy day.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is a remembrance of that. And so there have been attempts in modern history in particular by the Puritans, in, you know, within the Christian world, within the secular world, when you look at the Soviet Union or, you know, communist states, there have been attempts to erase the commemoration of Christmas. And, it's not been successful, that it keeps coming back. And I think that really, at the heart of it is this idea that something truly, you know, monumental is being celebrated on this day, and we should not forget it. Now, in modern times, it's all about family and all about gift giving and gathering everybody together around a table to argue about politics. But really at the core of this whole celebration is something much more profound.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everybody has a sense of that. Yeah.
Talking with Dr. Ken Calvert from Hillsdale about the meaning of Christmas. Christian theology will tie Christmas into a much larger story than just a single event. The Annunciation, the Incarnation. How do those things help us understand what's really being celebrated here?
Right. So not long after all of this got started, and we can talk about the celebration of December 25th as the day. I'll get back to that perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea here is right after Christmas, we celebrate what's called the octave of Christmas. In many of the churches, this is done. And this is the 8 days after Christmas. And this reflects a Jewish tradition that goes back quite a long way to the Feast of the Tabernacles, which was 7 days of feasting, and then on the eighth day, a day of reflection. And you see this in a couple of arenas. The idea of the 6 days of creation, the seventh day being the Sabbath, and then the eighth day being a day of reflection. These are found within Jewish tradition. And of course, Christianity rooted there, picks up some of this idea of the octave, of the 8 days after Christmas, as an appropriate way to celebrate a high feast. The same way with Easter, after Resurrection Day, there is what's called the octave of Easter, of 8 days of just celebrating, you know, pulling out all the stops. And so what the octave does is serve as a very important purpose, that this doesn't end on Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
And what you have is a period of joyous celebration, because what Christmas represents is God beginning the process, him coming as incarnate God to atone for our sins, that has begun here at Christmas. And so we're just thanking God, opening up all the stops, thanking him for doing this for us. And then you have the 12 days of Christmas, which people, you know, certainly know through the song, yeah. Right? And
it's a countdown though. Right?
Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, the thing is that it was something that as far as I can tell, emerged really during the Victorian era, which is really where a lot of our Western and particularly English and American celebrations began, with the Christmas tree and all of that. Queen Victoria did a lot to add to our celebration of Christmas. But the 12 days of Christmas are the 12 days between Christmas and Epiphany.
That's Dr. Ken Calvert. We talk about the meaning of Christmas with him. More in a moment. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family-owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
This is Carl Bott. Join Linda and I Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio. Find out what's happening in our town, our community, and our nation. That's Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m. right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio. Miss a day, miss a lot.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
Hello, I'm Shannon Phillips with the McConnell Foundation. As part of Operation Holiday Salute, we would like to take a moment to thank our veterans and the brave men and women who are currently serving in the armed forces. At the McConnell Foundation, our mission is to help build better communities through philanthropy. We value excellence and integrity, using our personnel, facilities, and financial resources to create and support positive change. We are honored to be a part of Operation Holiday Salute on KCNR.
Welcome back to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. Be sure to check out the Hillsdale College Podcast Network and all the audio Hillsdale has to offer at podcast.hillsdale.edu. We've been talking with Dr. Ken Calvert from Hillsdale's History Department about the meaning of Christmas. Dr. Calvert.
The Holy Family, so Mary, Joseph, Jesus, stands right at the center of the Christmas story. What lessons does their example hold for us about faith and obedience and also family life?
Right. It's so large. It would take lecture upon lecture to really unpack this, you know, Scott. There's just so much to it. And I'd like to start with Joseph, who we sometimes just kind of shove to the side and don't consider who this guy was. And, you know, he's got just a couple of lines, you know, in the Gospel of Matthew, and that's pretty much all you hear, and a little bit elsewhere. But, you know, the thing is this, he is in the line of David. Mm-hmm. He's in the Davidic line, right? And Joseph, being in the Davidic line, and many theologians talk about this, could this guy have been a king of Israel? And technically, the answer is yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, they're not in Jerusalem. They're not even in Bethlehem, where the Messiah, it is said, you know, they're to come from. They have to go down to Bethlehem to give birth to Jesus. They're up in Nazareth and kind of hiding out, it seems, there, right? And so, you know, the question that people, and, you know, there's nothing in Scripture that's explicit about this, except that he is in the line of David.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, his job, you think about this, his job is to oversee, to look after the woman who's going to give birth to God, and then look after incarnate God himself until such a time as this young man, you know, begins to take on adulthood. And it's interesting that we see him at about 13 years old at the temple, right, where Jesus stays behind, likely during the Passover. Mm-hmm. This is during the Passover, yeah. When they're looking for him, and Joseph, you know, where have you been? You know, your mother and I are worried.
Uh-huh.
It gives us an idea of, you know, what his responsibility was, right? And then Jesus says, and remember who this man is, okay, where would I be but in my Father's house? And this sheds some really important light on who Joseph is, because Joseph is Jesus' human adopted father.
Mm-hmm.
He adopts this boy into his family and then looks after him, protects him. No doubt trains him in carpentry, or honestly, whatever it is that Joseph does, because that's not entirely clear.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he's working in this town of Nazareth, and around it are Greek towns and Jewish towns and Roman towns, and probably working for a whole wide variety of people. But this is the man who protects and raises Jesus. He protects Jesus from Herod. He believes this dream that, you know, he is to go down to Egypt. You know, he is told, go to Egypt. And Joseph is faithful in all this. He doesn't divorce Mary. He does what he needs to do. So this is, as Scripture tells us, a righteous man. And so I like to talk about Joseph and to help people focus on what kind of husband, what kind of father, what kind of man he was. He was, you know, of this important line of David. And yet, you know, he did not become a king or anything near that.
Dr. Ken Calvert with us, professor of ancient history here at Hillsdale, as we talk about the meaning of Christmas. Are there ways in which this Christmas story that we know helps look ahead and preview the mission of Christ while on earth, his teaching, his sacrifice, and then the resurrection?
Yeah. You can see this in many places. For instance, King Herod comes to hunt him down, and he does so because the Magi have shown up and said, we're looking for the king of the Jews. It's important to understand that Herod has been named king of the Jews by the Senate of Rome. So, you know, you know, his mind is going, and Herod was not the best guy in the world. But, you know, you can just kind of if you're reading the Gospels in the first century context, mm-hmm. you kind of know this stuff, what kind of guy Herod was. We often forget that. And what he is doing is thinking, okay, I need to make sure that my authority and power are safe, that the Roman authority and power is safe, that I'm doing my job as a local potentate on behalf of the Roman Empire. Now, something that people often miss is that the Magi are those who read the signs and the sacred texts and the stars on behalf of the Persian Empire. And so them showing up in town looking for this king of the Jews, Herod's alarms are going off doubly because these are the enemy. This is the enemy showing up. And Herod in, I believe it was in 39 BC, had helped to drive a Persian-Parthian invasion into Judea out. And he freed Jerusalem from the Parthians. So, you know, he's a little bit skeptical. And so much so that he's going to send troops down to kill the little boys 2 years old and younger, mm-hmm. which means that Jesus was born 2 years before this. Shepherds and angels show up at his nativity. And then 2 years later, the Holy Family is back in Bethlehem, probably visiting family or what have you. And the Magi show up to see Jesus. And they give him gold, frankincense, and myrrh, which are the gifts of one king to another. Mm-hmm. We often think, well, they're also for, like, frankincense and myrrh for the dead, for, you know, symbols of his death and resurrection. That could be. But I also think that we need to focus on the fact that they're looking for a king, and maybe even a rebel king that they can get behind against the Romans. And so the fact that he is king, that he is Messiah, that he is under threat of death from the beginning, and then all the way through, you know, he is accused of so many things, particularly of blasphemy, saying that he is God, that they are looking for ways to kill him. And how is he killed? He's killed under the accusation that he is a rebel king. Mm-hmm. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Crucifixion is set aside almost exclusively for rebels and for traitors. And this is how he's identified. And I would argue, and many scholars have, that this guy, Barabbas, son of the father, he was probably a false messiah who was allowed to go free, and then they killed the true messiah. But that was his mission, was to die and rise from the dead. So, you know, from the time of the nativity accounts, all the accounts that we read at Christmas, if we were to read them in the first century, we would know the meaning of the incarnation, the meaning of what it means for Herod to be coming after this boy and to kill these children. I once had a discussion with a friend who was really questioning Christianity and had trouble with the idea that a bunch of, you know, baby boys were killed. You know, why would God allow this? And really the point of it is this, that they're out to kill Jesus. That's why these baby boys are killed. And how many? Who knows? Maybe a dozen. Mm-hmm. Maybe not more than that, because it's a fairly sparsely populated region. But it's done. And they want to get rid of the King of Heaven who has become incarnate on Earth. Yeah.
Dr. Ken Calvert from Hillsdale's History Department returns for one more segment as we talk about the meaning of Christmas. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Ready to grow your business? KCNR is the last locally owned and operated radio station in our area. We reach thousands of listeners in our community every single day. Our professional production team creates custom ads that grab attention and get the results for your business. And you'll be surprised on how affordable advertising with KCNR is. Our listeners are your customers. Call Sue McClain today at 530-605-4565.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa and Janet Chandler. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archive link.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Ring in the new year at Reading Garden of Lights on Wednesday, December 31st, 6 to 10 p.m. for a special New Year's Eve event featuring live music by Black Vinyl 45 and a special New York-style countdown at 9 p.m., perfect for families with early bedtimes, all while surrounded by 2 million lights and 10 acres of illuminated gardens with food and drinks available for purchase. All proceeds support Turtle Bay. Don't miss New Year's Eve at Reading Garden of Lights, Wednesday, December 31st. Buy tickets online at turtlebay.org.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
The holidays are here, and that means family, friends, and heartwarming homemade flavors. Celebrate the season at Charlu's Tap House in Anderson, where tradition, taste, and togetherness come to life. Warm up with our made-from-scratch soups and signature family sauces, crafted from cherished recipes passed down through generations. Watch the magic happen when we hand-toss every pizza to order, then bake it to perfection. Crispy, cheesy, and made with love. Let the little ones explore our brand-new adventure room. With bounce houses, arcade games, and even a make-your-own pizza table where the kids can make their own pizza. While they play, you can relax with happy hour daily from 3 to 6, or pour your favorite brew from our self-serve beer wall featuring dozens of local and craft options. And don't forget the perfect stocking stuffer. Buy a $50 Charlu's gift card and get an extra $10 free. The gift of homemade flavor, family fun, and unforgettable memories. Visit charlu's.com for details, or stop by on Highway 273 in Anderson. Charlu's Tap House, where good times, great flavor, and family traditions come together for the holidays.
We're back on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. Be sure to follow us on X at Hillsdale Radio, the podcast network at HC Podcasts. We're talking with Dr. Ken Calvert from Hillsdale's History Department about the meaning of Christmas. Dr. Calvert.
The nativity story itself, the shepherds, the journey, the manger. What are we reading the meaning of that? It could have been a normal birth. He was coming into the world as a normal human, right? So what about that?
Well, I think that the way I see it, and there are scholars who talk about this, so there are scholars who would disagree with me. But the way I see it is that at the nativity, the night Jesus is born, there are a number of things going on there. That the true nature of this visit, and that is that it is cold, it is dirty, it is nasty. The king of the universe becomes a human being, right? And this is not comfortable. It's not warm and cozy, you know, around a Christmas tree. It's just not. And I think that there's quote unquote no room at the inn. You know, people sometimes construct a conversation between Joseph and an innkeeper. No conversation is ever recorded in scripture. Just simply that there's no room in the inn and she gives birth to him in a manger where animals are kept. And in that region in Bethlehem, it's highly likely that it was a cave. In fact, the Church of the Nativity today and back in the day in the 4th century was built on top of a cave. And I would argue that the 1st century Christians had identified that cave, right? But he's not born in comfort. And yet this baby in a manger is the God of the universe. He's the King of heaven, as compared to a man, you know, a couple thousand miles down the way in Rome, Caesar Augustus, who claims to be a son of God, who claims to be the ruler of the world, right? I mean, this is Roman propaganda, who's got all the comfort and luxury and wine and food and everything that he needs. There's this wonderful message in Scripture that you have this contrast between the great and powerful and the truly great and powerful. And so who is called to come see him? Well, angels appear in the sky to a group of shepherds and say, you know, he's born, he's here. The Messiah has come. You know, what Roman centurion, governor, proconsul, emperor is going to pay any attention to a bunch of shepherds, right? And so they go and they praise God and worship Jesus. Some of the lowest of society, you know, who shepherds were, a lot of debate. I see them as the people who were most expendable, because you've got wild animals out there trying to take out the sheep. And who do you put out there to look after the sheep? The ones that are the most expendable. I mean, David was the youngest son in his family of a number of sons and most expendable. So he was out there, you know, and here we, again, you know, we have this connection with King David, but, the shepherds and the angels, this cosmic announcement of, you know, that the sky full of angels, that this is such a moment, you know, that the angel choirs are singing the incarnation of God. And then, you know, the shepherds are sent, and those are the people who witness the nativity. The Magi don't show up for 2 years. It's angels and shepherds. And to me, it's just so fitting. And we have this phrase that is spoken or written about Mary every once in a while. She pondered these things in her heart, right? And here, you know, she's looking at this and considering it, and wow. What is going on? You know, just the full effect of this woman, that she is seeing, you know, all of this unfold. And of course, you know, one has to put oneself in her place when she's at the dedication, and Simeon and Anna prophesy that this young baby is going to bring salvation, but also trouble, right? And then at the crucifixion, she's there, and what she must have felt as she watched this baby, now an adult man, you know, being crucified. So there's this idea, you know, that Mary is pondering all this in her heart, these shepherds and this angelic host, remarkable.
Dr. Ken Calvert with us, professor of ancient history at Hillsdale, talking about the meaning of Christmas. What do you think the Christian approach to Christmas can teach us about slowing down, finding meaning?
Yeah. I think that as Christians, we have to stop and think about what the incarnation means for us, as a church, for the world, for us as individuals. You know, God did this for our salvation. And you see this idea, particularly in the Gospel of John, that, you know, he loved the world. He loved us so much that he does this for us. This is an overwhelming and remarkable thing that I think even the most faithful Christian, I think, has a hard time really fully comprehending what this means. In fact, I would say it's impossible for us all to fully comprehend what this means, that God himself has done this for us. And it begins at Christmas. It begins at the nativity, with the coming of Christ. You know, one symbol that, for me, always is the most powerful is the crash, is the nativity scene with Mary, Joseph, the baby, maybe a little star on top and an angel, and some shepherds and some animals always gathered around. I have a very close friend who wants an elephant to be present because he thinks that, you know, the Magi should have come on an elephant. Anyway, whatever your taste in art, regarding the nativity scene, I think that moment in which you know, God himself breathes the same air that we breathe, and he is there present with us. And all of those in the nativity are looking to him and praising God for what he is doing there. You know, that to me is a great symbol. And I think that is, you know, what I would hope every Christian would ponder, mm-hmm. you know, on Christmas Day and through the celebrations that are there. I think, too, you know, we have this practice, and it's very important, of bringing all the family together on that day. And it is so easy, as it is at Thanksgiving, to enter into arguments, mm-hmm. right? Whether they be family squabbles, right, or be politics or what have you. Mm-hmm. And what I love to remind people is we've been celebrating Christmas for 2,000 years. And all along the way, there have been family squabbles. All along the way, there have been politics of whatever emperor, king, uh-huh. you know, republic, democracy that is present, that is part of the Christian life. And what is important to remember that Christmas overrides all of that, that all of that is temporary, is temporal, right? Who we're worshiping at Christmas is eternal. And the coming of our Lord Jesus, this is what is the message, the Prince of Peace, the one who should bring us together, and we should pray to that they bring us together and overcome all of these, you know, differences that are just really, really temporary. Mm. And here again, with the coming of, you know, the Magi and the chasing down of the Holy Family and their need to escape into Egypt, you know, they faced very, very serious temporal problems and an attempt on the part of a government to kill them, right? And yet, you know, they came out of it having fulfilled all that the Lord had wanted to be fulfilled at that moment. And so if we can see that in our day, now, you know, I have my own political views, which sometimes get in the way of peace with my family. Uh-huh. But, you know, what I think I try to remember at Christmas is that this is about the eternal, not the temporal, right? Yeah.
Dr. Ken Calvert, professor of ancient history at Hillsdale College, as we talk about the meaning of Christmas. Dr. Calvert, thanks for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Thank you, Scott.
Up next, Dr. Timothy McDonald, Associate Professor of Music and Director of Sacred Music here at Hillsdale College, tells us all about the Christmas hymn, Good Christian Men Rejoice. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
North Valley Distributing, a major supplier of electronic products for the industrial and construction markets, is proud to sponsor Operation Holiday Salute on KCNR to thank our veterans and those currently serving in the armed forces for your dedication and service to our country. North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive offers a full range of electrical and electronic products and services. Check out our website at northvalleydistributing.com.
Join me, Dr. Lauren, on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. behind the pink mic for breast cancer conversations about prevention and diagnosis to healing stories and words from expert guests. Behind the Pink Mic is proudly sponsored by Sizzle's Kitchen and Swell Endeavor. Tune in with Dr. Lauren every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and streaming at KCNR1450.com. Behind the Pink Mic, let's talk healing, hope, and community.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. Have you been affected by some of the recent changes in business ownership here in Shasta and Tehama counties? These changes follow a national trend where national companies buy up locally owned small family companies and change the culture and staff and pricing of their product. That has occurred here in the North State also. Three locally owned propane companies have been purchased by large national companies. If you're like me and you prefer to deal with locally owned companies, you may be interested to know Shasta Gas Propane, which has been around for 28 years, now has the third generation working in the company. For locally owned, family operated service and care, give us a call at 530-365-3793. Thank you.
Welcome back to this Christmas-themed edition of the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. We're joined by Dr. Timothy McDonald, Associate Professor of Music here at Hillsdale College and Director of Sacred Music here at Hillsdale College. We've talked to him over the years about a number of Christmas hymns. That continues today. Dr. McDonald, thanks for joining us. We're joined by Dr. Timothy McDonald, who is Associate Professor of Music and Director of Sacred Music here at Hillsdale College. Dr. McDonald, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Continue and conclude at least this particular series on Christmas carols and looking into the background. Good Christian Men Rejoice is our carol this time around. Tell us a little about the history surrounding this hymn. What inspired its composition?
Well, this carol is very, very ancient, as carols go. It has a rather mystical origin story. The melody for the carol, which was originally called In Dulci Jubilo, or its first line in Latin, it was never actually all in Latin. It was always what we call a Macaronic text, where it blended Latin with German in the original version, and it's been attributed to a 14th century German mystic Dominican friar by the name of Heinrich Suso, and the story is that this melody and the text for the carol came to him in a kind of mystic vision that he had around the year 1328, when he claims that he was suddenly in the company of angels around Christmas, the Feast of Christmas, and they were singing a melody that becomes In Dulci Jubilo. And in fact, as part of that, he's invited by the angels into a kind of a dance. And so there is in this carol, it's got a certain dance-like quality about the melody. The degree to which this is, we can't possibly verify this,
sure.
the origin of the story, but it certainly has all the marks of something, rather dance-like in all of this. And this story is included in the biography of Heinrich Suso, who eventually becomes, a blessed in the Catholic Church in the 19th century, which is pretty late for far removed from his own time. So this story has kind of been part of his own personal, like the legend of the saint, as it were. But we have a carol that has come out of this legend, which I think is a relatively beautiful and an important kind of cross millennium piece of Christmas joy. Yeah.
So what about the lyrics here of Good Christian Men Rejoice? What message or theme? What did Suso apparently see in his vision?
Well, as the legend suggests, the message of the hymn is, really a kind of exuberant joy in the, you know, to the point of dancing, in the birth of the Christ child. And so, you know, that is, evident not just in the melody, but in some of the little snippets of Latin that we hear in the text. You know, it's a piece that's also kind of retained in a way, the Latin plus the vernacular. Another carol that does this, and we don't even think about it very much, would be something like Angels We Have Heard on High, where you mm-hmm. sing Gloria in Excelsis Deo. And everybody sings it without thinking, wait a minute, I'm singing in Latin. It's interesting. And it was sort of embedded it just becomes instinctive, almost like a reflex. In the 19th century, there is a translation so that like pretty much all of the Latin is taken out and we have Good Christian Men Rejoice. This is done by, the hymnographer, John Mason Neal. Funny thing about it is that the melody, which comes from a collection called Pie Canciones, was mistranscribed by Thomas Helmore, who was the musical editor. And so you've got this funny thing where, you know, as you're going along, you sing Good Christian Men Rejoice with hearts and hands and voice. Give ye heed to what we say. News, news. That repeated news, news was not actually intended. And so you have this accidental sort of odd measure in many of the editions of the carol. Many subsequent editions of the carol have removed that. But a lot of people, myself included, like feel like there's a certain charm in that sure. mistake that kind of makes it, gives it a kind of a distinctiveness where it kind of hangs around on that little repeated note. And it also kind of adds to the dance-like quality of it with this sort of grounded note right in the middle of the phrase like that.
Talking with Dr. Timothy McDonald about Good Christian Men Rejoice. In terms of the song's popularity, we were talking before we began. You said this was a super hit. This would have been number one of the charts way back when. Very popular song.
Absolutely. This would have been the Christmas carol par excellence through much of the late Middle Ages into the Renaissance. And it was also quite it was continentally appreciated in, you know, Protestant cities, Catholic cities, in England and France. It was a well-known tune. It actually is currently at the zenith of its popularity, if I can say that, in terms of its publication in hymnals. As of 2023, it's in about 50% of all the hymnals that are currently in publication in the United States anyway. And so, it has never been more popular, interestingly enough, as far as publication is concerned. It's not programmed that often in my experience, but I think it ought to be because it's one of the catchier tunes, and it's also kind of tune that is going to plug you into a tremendous history of melody that, you know, is at least, legendarily descended straight from heaven.
You mentioned that the translations, and part of this is both English and Latin, but began German and Latin. There are some translations that take the Latin completely out. What do we lose, or do we lose anything when those events happen, from going from the original languages into tertiary or other languages?
Absolutely. It is actually a big problem because, well, this one has, first I'd say, so you have Latin and German, and then you had Latin and Swedish was the next iteration with the Pie Canciones. And then ultimately in the 19th century, Latin and English, and then finally all in English. And what, there is a certain, you know, I think that the Latin language, we don't really appreciate exactly how incredibly pervasive it is. In Oxford and Cambridge, it was absolutely assumed that you could not just read Latin, but mm-hmm. understand it when spoken until like the 1960s. That was what classical education, whatever we may say about it, it meant learning Latin and a bit of Greek.
Mm-hmm.
And so you kind of lose a certain connection to a kind of, you know, universal literacy. And also the cleverness of weaving English rhymes into Latin rhymes.
Yes.
I mean, that is just a really, you know, there's something poignant, and you can sort of see this idea of you know, schoolboys, you know, playing around with Latin rhymes and so forth as part of their own training. So I think we lose a little bit of that culture. And in general, with this hymn as well as others, a hymn has to have a few things in English. It needs to have verse. It needs to scan so that the relative weight of syllables has to be predictable and it has to be repeatable.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that aspect. And then it has to rhyme.
Right.
Rhyming in English hymnody is not optional. And there have been many, you know, unfortunately, you know, there is a new set of hymns, for instance, for the office for the Liturgy of the Hours. And they've translated it without rhyming English. It's in verse, but it doesn't rhyme. And I predict that it will utterly fail for that reason, because we have to have rhymes in our hymns. And to get it to rhyme in English, sometimes you have to depart pretty significantly from the sense of the original language. And that is a tremendous challenge. And it's also, it requires tremendous talent on the part of the translator. They have to be so, you know, they have to be like walking dictionaries.
Sure.
It's fantastic. The kind of etymological sensitivity you have to really get it right is so important. And so that is a whole topic unto itself, but it's a very good question, and it's quite apposite to this particular example.
Dr. Timothy McDonald, he is Associate Professor of Music and Director of Sacred Music at Hillsdale College, as we talk about Good Christian Men Rejoice. Dr. McDonald, thanks so much for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
That will wrap up this edition of the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. Our thanks to Dr. Ken Calvert from Hillsdale's History Department and Timothy McDonald, Associate Professor of Music here at Hillsdale. Remember, you can hear new episodes every week on this station. You also can find extended versions of some of our interviews or listen anytime to the podcast. Find it at podcast.hillsdale.edu or wherever you get your audio. Until next week, Merry Christmas. I'm Scott Bertram, and this has been the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Celebrate the holiday season at Redding Garden of Lights. Open on select dates now through January 4th at the Sundial Branch and Turtle Bay. Featuring 10 acres of illuminated gardens filled with over 2 million lights. Plus holiday-themed music, food and drinks, glowing swings, model trains, and more. Upgrade your experience with a train ride on the new Turtle Express. Redding Garden of Lights is presented by Dignity Health Mercy Medical Center Redding. Turtle Bay members save $5 per ticket. Buy tickets online for the best price at turtlebay.org.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies
and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.